Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci, and excitement is in the air as we approach the 13th edition of the James and Dublin International Film Festival. And what better way to introduce the festival than by chatting with its festival director, Grainne Humphreys, who is joining us, and it's a great pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much. Delighted to talk to you.
So as its festival director, would you like to tell us what it is that defines the James and Dublin International Film Festival? And maybe if you can, give us a little brief history of its existence.
Sure. I suppose in a way, the easiest thing is to start when in 2003, Michael Dwyer and David McLaughlin, who had been very heavily involved with the initial Dublin Film Festival back in the late 80s, kind of felt that, you know, that there hadn't been a festival in Dublin for a couple of years, and they really felt that there was an absence, and that kind of sort of annual jamboree or celebration of cinema was something that, you know, a city that was growing, you know, at the sort of rate with which the Celtic Tiger was having its influence in the city centre, you know, really, you know, deserved to have a film festival that brought film from all over the world. And I suppose in the 13 years since then, there's been, I suppose, a slow and quite steady growth in the festival. It's nearly doubled its length. It's doubled its number of screenings. We bring in nearly 100 guests. And if there's a kind of, you know, overall sort of theme, it's really to kind of celebrate world cinema. And, you know, Dublin is, you know, the capital city of a Northern Ireland on the west coast of Europe. It's between Britain and America. It's a very firmly placed within the English language world and very influenced by those two very different nations. And sometimes it can feel quite isolated from, you know, the cinema and the world beyond. Particularly, you know, Asia seems very far away, Australia, South America. And the conservative nature of distribution, which I think has got increasingly conservative, means that it's got harder and harder to see films from around the world, and the 140 films at the festival screens are predominantly films that are foreign language. They'll be screened maybe once and then probably never seen again, but that's also mixed in with you know brand new Irish features, shorts, documentaries, and of course some sort of red carpet sort of glamour, I suppose, to try and sort of spice it all up. But the backbone is really an opportunity, a sort of annual opportunity for sort of Irish people to see what's happening beyond our shores.
The fact that, you know, that there's a lot of international titles too, like you said, it seems to be sort of even more so this year, because there'll be film screened from, I read, 38 countries. Is that correct?
It is. And I mean, in a way, we moved in a couple of years ago, we did a national focus, you know, maybe around Turkey or around Korea. And there was a great sense of sort of being able to give a slightly more in-depth, I suppose, insight into what's happening in a particular country. But recently, it struck me that South American cinema, you know, and one can only see the success, for instance, of Mexican directors in at the Oscars, that you can see, you know, this wonderful sort of cycle that's going on between filmmakers in Korea working within the Hollywood system, you know, South American filmmakers, as I said, but the importance and the sort of relationship that Ireland has with international filmmaking, that it seems, you know, really exciting, I think, for Irish filmmaker or Irish film audiences to see new work and to sort of maybe meet filmmakers at the start of their film career. We've had a number of filmmakers who, as I said, 6 or 7 years ago were with their first or second feature and now are, you know, established auteurs within world cinema, and that the festival, you know, gave them a platform early in their career, which, you know, we're delighted to continue to champion. You know, it seems that there are smaller festivals throughout the year. There's a French festival, you know, there's a documentary festival. So, you know, the festival has a real responsibility to try and, I suppose, break new ground and to discover new talent.
And are there some titles that kind of stand out of this program, international program?
It's hard to pick a couple of them, but I love the Ukrainian film, The Tribe. I think that's a film that really changes the way in which you watch cinema. I think there's a couple of fantastic Swedish films, Force Majeure, for instance, and the new Roy Anderson film, which is called A Pigeon Sits on a Branch Contemplating Existence, yeah. One of the longer titles in the festival. I think there's a couple of really interesting films. Melbourne, for instance, is a fascinating film from Iran. There's a wonderful Indian film called Court. Teed is an Egyptian title. Very, very strong, as you said, emerging work. We discovered a couple of, independent, American independent filmmakers who I think are really exciting in the sort of rawness with which they're making films. They're not making them with any real concession to the comfort of an audience. They're really trying to shock them. Films like, Uncertain Terms or Heaven Knows All, some really interesting filmmakers. I'm kind of, as I said, delighted that we're being able to, broaden, as I said, the sort of reach of the festival to include, as I said, people like Olivier Assayas, for instance, very well known, or Laurence Cantat, to name just two of the French filmmakers. But, as I said, to indulge the curiosity of Irish audiences, where they are quite happy to go along to, as I said, we've a film from Kazakhstan, for instance, part of the world I've never been to and have no knowledge of what the sort of cinematic traditions would be. But equally, we've got some wonderful Brazilian films. And, as I said to someone the other day, it's like you can, go around the world 3 or 4 times in 11 days, but never leave the city. For filmmakers, I think, if there's one thing that you can do at a film festival, it's steal from Martin Scorsese and everybody will know, steal from some of the films that we're showing and you may never be caught.
Well, a lot of the titles you mentioned were some of my favorite titles of the festival year. And, you're right. It's like cinema as a form of travel, which is absolutely fascinating. But of course, one of the key features of the festival usually is that every year it welcomes some great guests too, some big names. And, this year there's a couple that really caught my eye, like Alan Rickman, Kenneth Branagh, and of course Russell Crowe with his directorial debut.
Yeah, all actors turned directors, or in some cases I think actually that Kenneth Branagh is the only one who doesn't appear in front of the camera as well as behind. And that's really interesting, as I said, that sense in a film festival of immersing yourself and being able to maybe, heighten your critical faculties. I think, Russell Crowe's film is a really interesting, nearly sort of an Australian take on Saving Private Ryan. It's about a father who goes to Gallipoli to find out what happened to his sons. It's a very quite sad, quite nostalgic story about, sort of like loss and redemption. And I find myself in a way being cast back to the kind of wonderful, Australian cinema that we remember so well with Fred Shepsey in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. A sort of quality form of cinema very much engaged with history. I don't know why, but I was very surprised, particularly that he chose a subject like this and that it had both big epic battle scenes and then very small kind of intense dramatic moments. And as a director, I thought he did a great job. I mean, Kenneth Branagh, I think we've always known as a director of great sort of subtlety and working extremely well with actors. And again, Cinderella seems to be both an odd choice in terms of being such a sort of familiar story to many of us, but equally, in the way in which he's worked with Shakespeare so much, maybe he is the perfect person. He's so used to working within the conventions of adaptation, particularly when you're talking about Shakespeare. And then Alan Rickman, for so many people, he has this fantastic voice and he can basically do, he's got some sort of, maestro in terms of what he can do with a simple line. And I think, Enrique Caeres is obviously an actor who, has got a fantastic cast together and is having a lot of fun with the kind of slightly mad, can it be true type of story about how the gardens in Versailles were actually created. So, I think what's interesting about a festival is that you get to meet the creators, the filmmakers, and you get to find out why. That a lot of the time we're quite passive, in terms of watching films. You go to see it and you may go and have dinner or have a drink afterwards and you might talk about it. But at a film festival, you actually get to ask questions like, why did you make this film? Or what drew you to it? Or how long did it take? Or what was your favorite bit? Or what would you change? And I think that, as I said, one of the nice things about the range of guests that we have coming this year is they are so different. Any festival that has Pedro Costa and Julie Andrews in the same lineup is catering to a broad, broad, sort of audience.
Julie Andrews actually is going to be attending the special screening that's going to be closing the festival, right, of The Sound of Music.
Yeah, which is, you know, in, as I said, what I'm really conscious of, you know, I've been a film nerd for a long time. I've been a volunteer for the festival in the late 1980s. I did an MA in film studies. Most of my best friends work in film in some shape or form. And yet there are audiences who want to come to the festival, but they're terrified. They think it's going to be filled with people like me, you know, and they want, I think, to be, you know, brought in to see different things and encouraged to see things. And I hope that Julie Andrews will not only be celebrated for the enormous contribution that she's made, not only to sort of like cinema, but equally, I think, to Christmas viewing on you know, televisions around the world. But the fact that she's, you know, an artist whose work is going to be celebrated alongside other artists, and hopefully, you know, people will come to see maybe something that she's involved in, but they might, you know, as I said, take a chance and maybe go to see something else. And that, you know, that opportunity to celebrate all the different parts of the spectrum of cinema are there. And not least also the older audiences, which I know are all going to Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. But as I said, for me, where cinema is now is part and parcel of where it's come from. And it's important for the festival to make sure that we, you know, we do remember some of the previous guests. We've got Ryan O'Neill, for instance, coming in for the 40th anniversary of Barry Lyndon, which has got a very special relationship to Irish audiences. And, you know, that's something I just know that will appeal to a broad audience, from the people who loved him in Love Story to the Kubrick fans, you know, in one room together.
The focus of the festival is the audience, but I think we should briefly mention also that there is a fair share of industry events too.
The thing is that you're so right. I mean, you know, Michael's big focus was on audiences, and as I said, giving opportunities to Irish audiences to see work they wouldn't see is probably the sort of mantra that he had. But equally, you know, Irish cinema in the 20 years since I started has kind of transformed. You know, there's Oscar nominations every year. There's, you know, the expectation of a couple of films in Cannes. And so the festival really, you know, has had to address an industry program, a series of public events, and to try and find ways of engaging with people who are working in the industry, be they short or documentary or feature filmmakers. And so we have, you know, masterclasses with actors like Kim Cattrall. We have a screenwriting conference, and Hussein Amini, the screenwriter of Drive, will be here to talk about his work and the way in which, you know, his career has taken him through, obviously, you know, films like Wings of the Dove and working with Michael Winterbottom to working on Drive to actually directing himself. We also have Rekha Lamptani, who's worked with Hoity Palsy, will be here with Freefall talking about editing. We have Leo Davis in conversation with Margie Simpkin, two sort of fantastic casting directors who will discuss their art. That's always a very appealing event for any budding actor. And in a way, we call it behind the scenes because that's what it is. It's to try and maybe give people a sort of sneak peek behind the actual, you know, shiny finished film. Is a lot of people working very hard to create something and to try and encourage people who, you know, have no involvement or people who've just started in the industry. And it's very exciting. I mean, I think some of the most exciting parts of the festival, as I said, when, you know, you have a guest explaining their craft to a room full of people, and hopefully, as I said, inspiring some of them to join.
Well, it certainly sounds like it is going to be a great, great edition of the Jameson Dublin International Film Festival. I wish you all the best with it, and thanks very much for joining us and talking with us about it.
You're very welcome. Listen, thanks very much, and I hope to see you here.
Yeah, I hope so too. So the festival runs from the 19th of March to the 29th of March. Thanks very much, Grainne Humphreys, for joining us. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.